You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 942. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the future of the freemium model in WordPress. We've got a friend of the show. He hasn't been on the show for a number of years, but I still classify him as a friend. We've got Jack Arturo with us. He's the founder of a very popular WordPress plugin called WP Fusion and a plugin shop called Very Good Plugins. So, Jack, do you want to give the tribe a quick 20, 30-second intro of you?
Yeah, sure. I've been developing in WordPress for about 15 years now. Wow, yeah. Before this, I was an Infusionsoft consultant, and I did a lot of work with marketing automation tools, ClickFunnels and that kind of thing. And I started getting into WordPress the way a lot of people did, setting up sites for clients with pre-bought themes and customize it, put their logo in, and, you know, just like...
Yeah, I think you've given us a quick intro. We'll delve more into your journey into WordPress after our quick commercial break. But also got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers, Kurt?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana Nomas, and we focus largely on membership and learning websites, as well as working directly with folks at WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
Like I say, in this episode, we're going to be just discussing the freemium model. We're going to be discussing Jack's journey into WordPress. We're going to be discussing what the WordPress community is like in Germany and a host of other topics. It should be a great discussion. Jack has a lot of knowledge to, and I think he's up for an honest discussion. But before we go into the meat potatoes of the show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the first half of the show, I just want to point out we've got a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional, plus some great special offers from the major sponsors. You can get access to all these free goodies, and I know you like your free goodies, you WordPress professionals. You can get this by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get for that page. Sorry to disappoint. All right. So, Jack, let's go straight into it. So you gave us a quick intro. I cut you off because you were going off into detail. This is the time. So how did you, first of all, you know, get into the world of online marketing and becoming a consultant for Infusionsoft, or Confusionsoft, as I call it? And then how did you get into the world of WordPress as a developer, you know? So first of all, how did you get into the world of being a marketing consultant?
I found a job on Craigslist. I needed something to do, and I had no formal education, and somebody was offering, I think, $10 an hour as an administrative assistant in New Mexico. And they were using Infusionsoft. And so I started building all their campaigns and running their evergreen funnels and all that stuff. And I did that for 2 or 3 years.
And you still got all your hair.
Don't look in the back.
So, well, that's humble beginnings. I want to point out I've worked with Jack on a couple projects and he's a very good programmer and he's pretty easy to work with. Unlike some people I've worked with, that haven't, to be truthful about it. Jack has always been reasonable. So that's interesting beginning. So when did you start programming and getting into the world of WordPress as a programmer?
The more sites you set up, there's always some client who wants something changed. This needs to be bigger. I want this to move over there. And if you want to get paid, you don't have a choice. So yeah, just a lot of trial and error. This was back in the day when it wasn't so competitive and they feel like people were doing less outsourcing and they wanted to work with somebody in their local community. So trial and error and figured out as it went.
Right. And so you're totally self-taught?
Yep, totally self-taught.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm amazed because, like I say, Jack's one of the better programmers that I've actually worked with. Is that because you probably are self-taught then, Jack?
And I just do a lot of self-teaching. I don't know what they say that. What's that 10,000 hours to mastery thing? I think I hit the 10,000 hours a few years ago and I'm still racking them up. So. I don't know. It just new skills every year and incorporating them and yeah.
So you're kind of freelancing as a developer. What led you into your first WordPress plugin and trying to build a business around that? What led to that?
Sure. I tried a couple of plugins. Around that time, I really enjoyed reading Pippin Williamson's blogs. He would do the year in review post. And that was really eye-opening to me. Like, you could make money while you sleep. And you could have thousands of people using your products and actually, like, really, really make money from it. So I tried a couple of plugins, freemium model also, that didn't work. And that's fine. I kept coming back to these integration problems between clients who are using CRM software and also running membership sites. So for example, somebody was doing their marketing in Infusionsoft and they were doing courses in LearnDash and they wanted to trigger emails around student events. And like somebody completes a course, they get an email, that kind of thing. So the same kind of problems kept coming up again and again. And I kind of built a toolkit that I would start to use for each project to kind of get it off the ground. And I was working with a friend at the time on a project like this. And he said, why don't we go in on this and we could release it as a plugin and see if anybody would be interested in buying it. And it worked. It was just the right idea at the right time. There wasn't really much out there for that level of integration. And this was right at the time when ActiveCampaign had just come out and marketing automation was just taking off. It was still affordable. Not so much anymore.
You got Fluid CRM. You wrote an excellent piece about your journey from ActiveCampaign to Fluid, didn't you?
Yeah, don't get me started on ActiveCampaign. I've got some thoughts there. But anyway, yeah, I think it was just good timing. And so we launched WP Fusion in the beginning of 2015, and it was basically 100% year over year growth for the first 6 years, something like that. And we didn't release a free version at all. It was premium only from the beginning. And even then, I think the entry price point was something like $200. So it wasn't a cheap plugin by any means. People signed up and the word of mouth was good. And it took off and it's still going really well.
Fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic because now Pippin Williamson is one of my neighbors. We just moved to Kansas and I found out Pippin was here.
I see your pictures all the time at the brewery. Yeah, I'm jealous.
He spent me too much time in the brewery, Jack.
I do kind of live at the brewery. So what do you think are, like, so your opinions, having released plugins, and especially in the marketplace now that we're thinking of WordPress in the space, what do you think the real future is with, like, the freemium model of coming to market with a product, offering a version for free, and then trying to upsell or upgrade from that free model, you know, through the repository and stuff? Do you have thoughts around that ecosystem?
Yeah. I think that it's no longer possible just to release a free plugin and expect people to find it in the WordPress plugin list and the admin, and build a business that way. You have to already have connections. You have to have a marketing strategy. I think the upfront costs are a lot higher, but I still think it's possible. Fluid Serum is a great example. They have a really powerful free plugin that can do a lot of stuff, and can save you a ton of money. And their paid versions are reasonably priced and are a great value add on top of the free plugin.
Well, he's been a great supporter of me. He's like you, very generous individual, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's great. He's kind of my WordCamp buddy. Every time we go to WordCamp, we hang out. So I think that it's possible, but you need to be established in the community already. And that could be as a, podcast host, Jonathan, but you need to have some, brand recognition and some trust, and then you need to release something that's solving a pain point and that gives away a lot for free. And that's difficult. I think we were really lucky in that we were profitable in the first month. And I don't think that would be possible anymore. I think you would need to expect to wait, you know, 6 months or a year and build up a user base. I think it still can be done for sure.
I've always been interested in the freemium model. And my first real experience with the freemium model was working with the folks at Lifter. Right. So they have this giant free plugin, right? And it does an amazing amount of stuff for free. And then, of course, people come along and they go, well, I want to sell it. Okay. Well, you want to make money with the product. So now we're going to ask you to buy a premium plugin to connect your thing, right? That whole model made sense to me. But if I try to reverse engineer that thought as an outsider looking in, I really struggle with how do you determine what to put in your freemium version versus a premium, right? So after the fact, I can look at Lifter's model and go, oh, that makes perfect sense. But like, I couldn't imagine putting that together. Do you have thoughts on like how to construct the right freemium offer? And then like what's free and what's not? That's a hard thing.
Yeah, so I think that's a great example because it used to be the standard was payment gateways or recurring payments if you want to take subscriptions. But a lot of people might not even try it out if they can't take payments. Like, you're not going to invest all your time into building a course. Like you want to have some proof that it's working and that you have a potential business there before you start to invest in paid add-ons. I think that in the last few years, it's changed quite a bit because of the Stripe Connect program. For people who don't know, if developers create, for example, like a simple course plugin that lets you sell courses, they can sign up via Stripe and they can collect 1 or 2% of all of the transactions that get processed through Stripe. So we're seeing more plugins that are released completely for free with payments and recurring payments built in. SureCart is a great example. And they're able to fund their growth by taking 1 to 2% of your revenue. And in most cases, that's the free plan. And then when you make enough revenue, you can upgrade to a paid license with the plugin provider and then they get rid of the fees. So I think that's a great shift because it lets you start a new online store, validate your concept and get revenue. If you don't make anything, then you don't pay anything. And if you start making a lot of money, then it's worthwhile to upgrade to the premium version and save yourself that percentage cut.
Nice. Nice. Jonathan?
Yeah, obviously, I think there's still some traction in this model. It's just got more competitive, like almost everything. But then you've got the elephant in the room. You've got the other element, which has always been there. But I think people decided to do a Freudian deal with the devil, didn't they? And that's reared its head in more ugliness partially through your own personal decision, but I think the more uglier aspect of this is what's happened around paid membership pro. Obviously it's been reported in Reddit, so you have to take it for what it is, but I think also the owners of paid membership pro have confirmed this, is that they've been semi-threatened by Matt, that their decision to remove their plugin from the depository, they got threatened that he was going to do what he has done to WP Engine and their plugins. I think the kind of feedback that I've got from the community over this, it's really put a shiver through a lot of people, and it's woken up a lot of people. Have you any thoughts around this, Jack?
Yeah, I have a few.
I thought you were.
Yeah. So I'm quite close with the team at Paid Memberships Pro. I really think that I really respect that they kind of took a stand for their principles, and they said essentially, Matt has not been clear with us with who is in charge of the .org repository.
Well, it is clear, isn't it?
It's clear now, yeah.
It's totally clear, isn't it? It's totally clear, isn't it?
It was sort of made out to be this, like a community supported collaborative place where people build the WordPress project together. And then when he stole Advanced Custom Fields, he said, oh, it's a one-time thing. That would never happen again. It's only because of this complicated legal reason that I can't really explain the same way twice. And then to find out 2 weeks later, he's threatening other plugin authors with taking over their plugins. I think I get some leads from the .org repository, but I would be happy to close our plugin there and distribute it somewhere else. I don't feel like
it's truthful. You weren't relying that much on him and keeping on the right side of him. I say that he's quite capable of forking, you know, I'm only stating the obvious. Obviously, and Jack's much more intelligent than me, audience. So he's thought of all this. Obviously, he could still attack you quite vigorously because he's done this before. He could still take your whole plugin and offer it for free, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could.
And he's quite capable of doing it, isn't he?
We were lucky in that we launched as a premium-only plugin. So as I'm sure you know, many plugins, their free version is on the repository, and then the paid extensions are add-ons to that, like with Lifter LMS. If Matt took over Lifter LMS, the paying customers would be screwed. With us, our free plugin is standalone because we launched it much later. So if Matt wants to take it over and support it and develop it, when the customer clicks to upgrade, they're going to come through to our website and buy the premium plugin. So I really don't mind. It would save us some effort.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to be funny here, Jack, because the premier version is done under the open license. He could fork your premium if he wanted to. It would cause an enormous amount of bad will.
It'd be
a kind of a semi-nuclear explosion, wouldn't it?
This is why I filed my cease and desist against Automatic in October. He could take the plugin and completely rename it, rebrand it, change all of the functionality, rewrite all of the documentation, the tutorials, open partner programs with HubSpot and Salesforce, become a Microsoft certified developer, do, you know, everything. But he can't legally just take WP Fusion and sell it as WP Fusion because we own the trademarks to that. And that is trademark infringement. And we can take him to court for that.
Yeah.
So if he was really determined, yeah, he could fork it and call it, I don't know, Matt's Fusion or something. But it wouldn't be practical. It would be a lot of work. But I will say we're about to launch. I'm launching a new business, which is going to be a SaaS service. And it will have a WordPress plugin. We will submit it to the .org repository. But our primary distribution channel will be via our website. And that was made as a choice considering Matt's actions. We want to be secure in case anything else goes down on the .art repository, the updates will come from our website.
Yeah. In some ways, I think it's for the best to see the situation. I think a lot of people just went along with things because they were doing quite well financially and they just didn't want the aggro. But a lot of people had... I've not had this. I've always had a good experience with the couple of discussions I've had with Matt, but I've had a host of other people who haven't had very good interactions with him, but they've never been prepared to talk about in an honest way about their experiences with him. Would you agree with that, Jack?
From what I've heard, he has a public persona and then a private persona. I've heard in one-on-one meetings, he can be verbally abusive. He can be a difficult person to be around. And then he has his keynote face that he puts on, which looks good and is all about, you know, empowering writing and open source software. I think we're kind of getting a glimpse of that private Matt, especially in his social media exchanges. And in just like the weirdly vindictive actions, like the WP Engine Tracker website or like this stuff that doesn't make any sense from a tactical or legal standpoint. It just really seems like he wants revenge, like he wants blood, and it pleases him somehow to get it. So I think people are starting to see that side of him that was previously only spoken about in private.
Right, back over to you, Kurt.
Okay, so if we go back to let's talk about people that maybe want to get into the plug-in business, right? So you've got experience here, you're well established, successful, you've got that. And what advice would you give to that service entrepreneur that wants to market their business in 2025? Because we're coming up on the end of 2024. Obviously, we've got some instability in the WordPress community framework kind of place. People aren't super secure. So if someone has already put in the work and now they've got something to release, what advice would you have for them to market that product in 2025?
That's a good question. I think the best way is to create kind of a niche product in a community where you're already established. For example, I'm quite active in the Buddy Boss community. My friend Peter's got a add-on that lets you customize the Buddy Boss app in very unique ways. And he came about that idea by spending tons of time working one-on-one with Buddy Boss app users and realizing this is something that they're missing. And he's already got the name recognition and I think is quite successful with that. I don't know how easy it would be to just wake up in the morning with a good plugin idea and, you know, just start tweeting about it. I think you have to have a community that you're already integrated with, identify a problem multiple people are having, and then even just develop it for one or two customers and work with them to iterate and then build it up into something that can be commercially viable.
Yeah. And at the risk of saying something maybe not expected, even an established plugin, right? You want to experiment with more content. Like I know that you're working with Emily on making some like tutorials and short YouTube things. And so that's kind of a new channel for you guys, isn't it? To that perspective.
For 8 years, we did no marketing at all. I wrote one blog post a year that just summed up our revenue numbers. And our traffic kept going up. And then the Google algorithm update in April really killed us. Our traffic is down like 80% over last year. And we've seen that reflected in new customer numbers. Our new customer signups peaked in like 2022. And now they're at about half of what they used to be. Revenue is still going up because we have a pretty... low churn rate. Most people renew. But so something had to change. So yeah, in August, I hired a marketing director full-time. Their name is Katie. And we now have two writers and Emily working with us on social media and video production. And it's a little bit early to tell, but yeah, we're seeing the organic traffic start to tick back up and our pages are ranking again. So it's been a really big change and a lot of work and just like systematizing a lot of things that were previously only in my head. Like, you know, why would somebody want to use event tracking or like, you know, what's a deal stage in Zoho and that kind of thing. And so we started using Notion. I don't know if you know Notion.
Yep.
We're just creating this big database of all the internal policies. I record hour-long screencasts of this is how I do this specific thing so that they know how to do it themselves. So it's been a lot of work. So with that and then launching a new company and then Black Friday coming up, I don't get much sleep these days. I'm really looking forward to the dead week between Christmas and New Year's this year.
Oh, I'm taking most of December off, actually. Well, I'm working. I'm in a enormous, I wouldn't say a fight because that would be a ridiculous statement, but I'm in a similar situation with Google as what you expressed, but it's happened a lot later than what happened to you. So I'm going to have to do a ton of work and a lot of that's got to be started in December. Just to finish off, I've got such mixed feelings about what has happened with Matt and WP Engine because in some ways, I know this is going to sound a ridiculous statement, Jack, but this is how I feel about it. In some ways, I think it's much about nothing because everybody knew the situation. Anybody that had a brain knew the situation because he wants to get into a punch-up with an enormously well-funded, legally got a small legal army behind them and then wants to do things that, in my opinion, aren't going to work out very well for him. That's his business, isn't it? But when it comes to WordPress, which is a much bigger thing, isn't it? I was more concerned about Gutenberg and all the flux around that because I thought it made things very difficult, not for you because of the kind of plugin and your niche area, but for a lot of other plugin providers. The situation when it came to support and maintenance and making sure their plugin works, I thought because of Gutenberg and the whole situation, the situation was getting worse and worse for a lot of plugin authors and people with established business. Do you think I'm on the right track there?
Yeah. I mean, Gutenberg's been terrible for us. I can't stand it. I always say up until WordCamp Europe 2019, when I saw Matt's keynote speech about learn JavaScript deeply, I had no idea who he was. I had no idea who Matt Mullenweg was. And those were my happiest years in WordPress. It was a stable system to build on. Everything was standardized. It was reliable. And then, yeah, he came in and decided, I guess 28% of the internet isn't enough. We need to get 40%. And to do that, we're going to have to compete with Wix and Shopify and all these beginner website building platforms. And in doing that, they introduced a lot of complexity. And they also, some people went with Gutenberg, but other people decided, no, we're going to do our own custom JavaScript admin framework in Vue or something like that. Or Shurkart decided for stability, we're going to run most of the stuff on our servers. It's not even, your data isn't even in your website. Because WordPress admin is about to break and they moved that all over to React. So I think, I don't know. It just feels in both the case of Gutenberg and with WP Engine, it feels greedy. It's like, why does WordPress have to power the whole internet? I think it's at 43% right now. Like, isn't that enough? Like, could we just stay there? There's work for everybody. Does WP Engine really have to hand over millions of dollars of their revenue every month to continue to fund Matt's project to try to take over more of the internet? Like, yeah, I don't know. It really rubs me the wrong way.
Right. Well, that's pretty clear views. We're gonna go for our break, and we'll be back in a few moments, folks, for the second half of this fantastic interview. I knew it was going to be a great one, and it's turning out that way. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. It's been a great first half. I just want to point out that if you're looking for a great way to promote your plugin or WordPress service, why don't you look at sponsoring the WP Tonic Show? We've got some great packages, affordable packages. You can find more about sponsoring the WP Tonic Show and getting your plugin and service in front of a large and dedicated audience of WordPress professionals. You can do that by going over to wp-tonic.com/sponsorship. wp-tonic.com/sponsorship. And we'd love to work with you in 2025. Back over to you, Kurt.
Well, I got easy questions now. Well, maybe not so easy. I don't know. Living in Germany, and I was actually really impressed when I first met you at WordCamp, right? And I was like, oh, this guy lives in Germany. I was like, that is so cool. So being able to pick up and go, living in Germany for the years that you've been doing this, is there a big difference, you think, culturally in like WordPress here in the States and WordPress in Europe?
I'll be honest, I'm not super involved in the local community here. My German is not very good. And I kind of like to, I don't know, I keep my work life online and then my personal life stays personal. Most of my friends have no idea what I do. But I do think labor in Germany is a bit different in the US. Jobs are much more secure. After a 30-day probation period, when you start at a new job, you basically have the job for life. And so with people I know...
Well, you used to. Isn't that changing a little bit in Germany?
A little bit, but you have a lot of protections. And insurance is included and pension is included and paid holiday, like it's all guaranteed. So in the US, I think I see a lot more people working multiple jobs, like, you know, day job, and then they're developing a plugin on the side or freelancing. And then they feel like that maybe that could work. And then they quit and they start a company, and then the company goes out of business and they start another one. And people are always like kind of trying out a new thing and maybe being a little bit more innovative. The people I know here who are working in tech, they go to work, they do great work, and then they go home and they don't think about it. They don't have to, you know, freelance after dinner to make ends meet. So it's just like work in general is less important. I know when I'm in the States, you meet somebody and they say, "Oh, hi, what's your name and what do you do?" We don't talk about that here. Many people I see all the time, I have no idea where they work. I prefer it that way. I think there are more interesting things about me than my job. So it suits my lifestyle, but it is a bit different.
Yeah, there's a big part of me that was jealous when I met you, because I had just come off of a really great run with both Ducati as a company and a decent run at Suzuki, and I got to experience cultures, you know, obviously Asia, Japan, and all that. But I was still so enamored and in love with my trips to Italy and Spain and France and things I never would have got to experience without that job. And someday I plan on retiring, like just buy a vineyard and go to Italy and call it done. I mean, it just...
That's my plan too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
their work-life balance and like you said, their take on life and relationship is completely different than here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Jonathan?
Well, you touched on a couple of really interesting concepts there because I discussed this with other guests on the show, Jack, about the concept that there's a minority of people that are very active in WordPress and their whole reality of themselves and their social community is totally around WordPress. I'm very supportive of WordPress. Maybe the great leader would disagree with that, but I am. And it's been quite good to me. But I don't identify myself, my whole personality. I have friends that are totally outside of WordPress. I have people like yourself and other people that I have good relationships in WordPress and that have been generous to me, and I try and support them. But I don't identify myself solely around WordPress. I think a lot of these people that their whole life seems to be around Twitter and going to WordCamps and talking about WordPress and then talking about WordCamps, they've been some of the most shocked about this whole thing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I was on the WP Product Talk show last week talking.
Yeah, so listen to that. You traitor. You went on there at people here, Jack.
I think it's a very small minority of us that make our whole income from WordPress, and especially those of us now, like we're a team of 12 people. So I'm supporting other people's families as well. And it makes me very nervous when these big changes are happening at the top and the community doesn't have a say in it. So for people like us, I think we're quite passionate about it. And then we do what we can on social media or on podcasts to try and make others aware of the problem. But I think there's a lot of people who it doesn't really affect them. They're still either selling their plugins or still getting clients. It'll just blow over, I think, for better or for worse.
Yeah, because it's really interesting. Obviously, some people that I well known and I do respect their opinion. I don't agree with everything that comes. They've got much more knowledge. I think Spencer Forum, who's a regular on my round table show that you work with on a reasonably regular level, he's been very vocal that, and he's got also a lot of legal experience, being that he's still he's not a practicing lawyer, but you know, I think he's still, I've got the term, registered to practice in the law. He's been very virulent that, in his opinion, this is really going to be very painful for Matt and for Automattic. The outcome is bleak, but in some ways, but we just don't know, because I really don't wish Matt any, I get no joy about him getting into difficulty, because I don't get personal joy out of people that haven't done me any harm personally, but his actions really don't make any sense. But we're definitely in flux, but in the end, it could work out better for the WordPress community in some ways. It could go any direction. What I mean is, I don't think this means it's going to end up in gloom and doom in the end. Would you agree with that? We just don't know, do we?
Yeah, I agree. And change is good. My ideal outcome would be that Automattic gets hit with a huge fine and has to pay damages for everything they've done. And that could be hundreds of millions of dollars. And I firmly believe that there are investors behind Matt who, if they wanted to, could ask him to step down. They're kind of letting him on a long leash right now. But
he has publicly, I'm sorry to interrupt, Jake, but his last interview, I thought, which was very amazing, his interview at Disrupt, was that he's publicly stated that he personally owns 82% of Automattic, which he's verbally said that, but I find that amazing statement. I really don't understand how, after the kind of level of investment, that he can actually own 82% of Automattic. Do you?
I don't. And I feel like if there was evidence to that effect, he publishes everything. It says everything that's on his mind. We might have seen some of it, but I don't know. I can't comment on that. I do feel like Automattic is going to lose this case, and I think it's going to hurt them a lot. And I think that it's not a problem with Automattic, the company. I know some great people who work there. They put out high quality products and services. It's just Matt's that's the problem. And so my hope would be that if the repercussions are strong enough, Matt's power will become more limited. And I think that that would be better for the future of WordPress.
Yeah, in some ways, I agree with you. I really don't. I'd be surprised that it ever gets to court myself, but who knows? I would imagine this is going to be settled. The only thing is, I'm not prepared. I don't wish any ill to WP Engine. Jason Cohen he's not a close friend, but I think he would be okay to say that we're friends. And as a founder of WP Engine, and like you, I totally respect him. And he's one of the, like yourself, a very great, you know, I always listen to his materials that come out. But I don't have a lot of personal engagement with WP Engine because of the people that own it. You know, it's just a business, isn't it, for WP Engine? It's owned by a venture capitalist.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's business, isn't it? You know, they will just look at the figures, won't they?
And I really don't like WP Engine's hosting. I think that it's overpriced and it's not very powerful, and they do a good job of attracting people who don't really understand hosting. But it's a business, and the business is working, and it makes them money, and they have every right to make money selling hosting. I never thought I would be on Twitter defending WP Engine, but when Matt comes after them, especially in a way that's not backed by any kind of legal dispute, it's just Matt attacking them. He could do that to any of us, and so I feel like I have to stand up for them.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I think that's well expressed. Back over to you, Kurt.
I really thought we were going to go for our half break. if we dial back the questions and wonder about, some people would look at WP Fusion and consider that a piece of AI, right? They would consider that like the automation, like someone fills out this, they get that. Someone does this, this happens. Someone does this. But AI's got a whole kind of different flow. How do you think you use AI in your daily life or in your work? Are there special tools that you use that help you get through?
Yeah, it's changed everything. I can't believe it's only been around a year. I would say in terms of coding, 90% of my output is AI generated now. I use ChatGPT for general inquiries or like, you know, how to approach a problem. But I've recently started using the cursor editor for code, which it lets the AI understand everything you're working on and work across multiple files and make changes. Just this morning, we had a customer who was using Zoho, and they're sending WooCommerce orders into Zoho for their sales team. And normally we interface with the Zoho Deals module, which is like one way of seeing orders. And
they're a funny company, aren't they, Zoho?
Yeah, that's another story, yeah.
That maybe we can discuss that. Are you up? You know, we're coming up. We've got another 10 minutes, but if you're up for it, we can do some bonus content, because they're a strange company, aren't they? They're really, they could, they're highly successful, but they could be so much better, couldn't they? Yeah. In my opinion.
But I was just going to say, the customer asked, would it be possible to send the data into sales orders instead of deals? And normally that's the kind of thing we would have to put into the queue, get 5 or 10 customers interested in, send it out to a developer, wait a month. And I just thought, let me just ask Cursor if it can do this, make a quick change. And it did it across like 6 different files, edited it, added a little option to the settings. When the option changes, it validates the different fields and makes sure they're mapped correctly. So 5 minutes, I was able to add this feature just for this one customer and send it out. So it's helping us do things that we probably never would have found the time to do because it's so niche, but now we're able to solve those problems for people.
Yeah. Do you think using the AI the way that you do, that there's a certain level of required expertise to understand the inputs and the outputs better? Or do you think overall, more and more people are going to think they're an expert in something when they really don't know what the heck they're doing?
Yeah.
That never stopped a load of people in WordPress. That's never stopped anyway.
Well, and there's two ways to look at it. So the one is that, yes, certainly, like, I understand how to phrase the question in a way that I get the result that I want. And I've pre-written a script that tells it needs to conform to the security standards and the translatability standards and the documentation standards. But now I'm able to share that with our junior developers on our team and give them just like an hour training on how to work with the AI and the prompting. And they're able to output code at almost the same level I can. So I think that, yes, you need to know what you're doing, but it's also a great way for people who might have been too scared to even start to get their feet wet and realize it's not so scary. And yeah, you know, maybe it breaks the first couple of times, but you know, then you fix it and you learn more and you iterate. Whereas before, you might have been too scared to ever start a plugin business. So I think it's good for established developers and for beginners.
Yeah, that's at the low level of engagement that our agency has here. We've run into a couple of times already where we've gone to work on a membership or a learning site and somebody's added some snippet or code or something, and I'm like, what is this? What are you like? Oh, I want my dashboard on the front end, or I want my reporting on the front end, or I want my. And in the old days, you would say, well, let's get a developer to build that, right? Or let's move that. And now it's like, it's there. You go into this website and it's there, and you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And oh, I just built that in ChatGPT, and you're like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but that's, you know, it's just changed, but you know, they hired somebody from somewhere. I'm not
Fiverr
or whatever. And they, you know, it was 2 years ago, and they never paid the person because they weren't happy or they fell out, as you do. So there's nobody to talk to anyway. Now the code is produced by machine code. It's a kind of same, but I see where you're coming from, Kurt. But I've dealt so much with that scenario. Somebody hired, there was never any documentation about anything, you know, and it's a black box, isn't it, Jack?
And it's changing so quickly. Like the system I'm using now has only been for about a month. And before that, the code we got out of ChatGPT wasn't that reliable. Like it wasn't really worth using a lot of times. And really, yeah, probably every 3 months, our AI integration workflow changes completely. And it's gotten exponentially better.
Yeah, it's amazing. Awesome.
It's good to hear.
Right. Let's go to my last question, which is one of my favorite. Yeah, obviously, you know I'm English, don't you, Jack? So I mean, we live in America, but I'm still so English, I feel. But funny enough, my family in the UK reckon I've become very Americanized. It's most strange. But I still think I'm pretty English in temperament and sarcasm. So Doctor Who and the TARDIS and H.G. Wells and the time machine. If you had your own time machine and you could go back to the beginning of your career, is there anything you would like to tell yourself, apart from not coming on this podcast, Jack?
I love this podcast. It's a good question. I think in the beginning I'm very, very risk averse. I don't like to take chances. And so I wanted to do everything myself, and any money we made went into like my retirement savings, and that was it. We were at 90% profit for years and years and years. And it was fine, but I think I was worried.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yes and no, but
all my money went to my divorce. I'm distracted, so I don't end up on the street.
But I never got to take a holiday during that time. You know, I was kind of always at the whim of how many support tickets were in the inbox in the morning. And then in 2020, Ace joined us. He's our support lead. And I guess I was worried that bringing on help would mean I would have to spend more time in meetings and managing people and less time working on code. And that was kind of made me realize that, actually people can like take care of themselves and be responsible for their own tasks and do a great job in some cases better than what I can do. And so now that we're kind of scaling up and the division of labor is figured out, I actually have more time to spend, doing the things that interest me and less, doing the stuff that I have to do. So I guess I just wish I'd got started on that earlier, building a team and investing more in the company. And I think we probably missed some opportunities along the way because it was just a full-time job, like keeping the fires from burning out of control. Is something like, you know, Fluent CRM, the idea of launching a CRM inside of WordPress. I had that idea for years, but just never had time to do it. I guess I would tell young Jack, don't be too afraid to take chances. You know, you have to fail a few times to succeed.
Yeah, well, I'm a kind of perfectionist because I'm a dyslexic. And the strange thing is I'm a perfectionist, and that's a very difficult combination. And looking back, if I'd just been more acceptive, I would have done more things. But, you know, that's just great, isn't it? It is what it is, isn't it, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming to the end of the podcast. I think Jack's up to doing some bonus content, which you can watch the whole show on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Please subscribe to that. Please support the podcast by subscribing to iTunes and sharing it on social media. We're one of the few continuous podcasts that are truly independent in the WordPress professional space. This is going to be our last podcast of 2024. I'm taking a break. So is Kirk. I've got a ton of work to do. I was traveling. I still haven't made my mind up about that. I am oscillating on that. But we'll see. But we will be back in the new year with some fabulous guests. Thank you for listening to the show. I want to personally wish you and your family a happy Christmas and a new year. It's going to be an interesting 2025 for WordPress, but don't get too worried because I still feel it's the best platform to build a real online business. I honestly believe that. So, Jack, what is the best way for people to find out more about you, your thoughts and insights, which I always read myself, Jack?
You can find me at WPFusion, all one word, .com. That's kind of where I blog about the business of running a WordPress company, and then also about marketing automation. And then I have a new project that we're launching at echo-.com, and that is going to be a real-time reporting tool for everything you do online. Not just your WordPress website, but your Calendly events, your Stripe transactions. You can forward emails into it and they'll appear there. So I'm really excited about that. I've been working on that the last few months. Echo Dash.
Yeah, they're really Jack. And I've known Jack for a long time and he's just a great individual. I don't say that about many people, Jack. You can send me the check after the show, actually.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm the sponsor.
Right. And he has to deal with Spencer on a regular basis. God, you must be a
highlight of my day.
You must be a fucking saint, actually, if you're dealing with him. Sorry, Spencer, but I had to say. How can people find out more about you, what you're up to?
On the agency side, it's Mañana No Más, like tomorrow no more. And we're there to help you with anything you need. And if you want to connect personally, I can usually be found on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find.
And if you really want to support the show, why not also think about joining us on Facebook, folks? Yes, Facebook, I know. But join the Membership Machine Facebook group and you can leave some comments about the show. I'd love to get some more feedback about subjects you would like us to cover. And the best way is to join that Facebook group. We will be back in the new year. Like I say, I want to wish you and your family a great Christmas and New Year. And thank you so much for your support during 2024. It's just gone so quick. Like I say, we'll be continuing the discussion with Jack and you'll be able to see the bonus content on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. We see you in the new year. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.